This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today I have with me
Dr. Lucas Dreyer.
And I am Diane McConnell. And last week we were talking about prostate cancer and a program called CrossFit. And it was very interesting and there was a lot more to be said. So this is our second part to that program.
Yeah, so I'm just going to repeat where I finished off last week is a little bit around the muscles. So the pelvic floor, like I said last week, is like a hammock. It's sort of a muscles that stretch from the pubic bone to the tailbone and then from the sit bones on both sides. And these muscles hold the bladder up and support the bowels. And so the main muscles of this hammock is the pubic coccygesis, which is the front part of the hammock. It wraps around the urethra. And it's the one that you engage when you try to avoid leaking. So if, like I said, if you just want to try and stop a pee and you contract at the base of the penis, that will be the pubic coccygesis that you contract. Then we've got the puborectalis, which is a muscle that forms a sling around the rectum, and it's the one that you contract when you want to stop a poop. And then you've got the iliococcygesis. It's a muscle. Ilio is basically iliums. If you put your hands on your hips, that's the iliums. And so this muscle is like a next layer over the first two layers. It comes from the ilium and it goes to the tailbone. And so it forms a whole, like a hammock. And they are really important for all the pelvic organs. So they create that sort of... And one of the things that these muscles do is when they get stretched, they contract. And so trying to create a stretch is the one way to create also contraction, especially if they've been surgically disturbed. Because any sort of invasion, surgical invasion, has an effect on the muscles' contraction. They go into a little bit of a shock, and they... and it applies to the knees and the ankles and all the other muscles. It's just a muscle, and they react like all the other muscles. If I do a knee biopsy, it's basically just a needle that goes in to look at the space between the tibia and the femur. We often find that the patient comes out in the first couple of days, he can't contract his quads. The quads haven't been touched. It's just a basic shock reaction on the invasion where the nerves has been sort of affected and the muscle just don't want to contract. And it's pretty quick to restore. There's certain exercises we do to restore it. Often come back into function within one session. But in case where there was surgery which affects the tendons of the muscle and so forth, then that proprioceptive contraction ability of the muscle takes a bit longer. And I've seen people, like I've said before on one of the other recordings, 2 to 3 years down the track after ankle surgery or knee surgery, where they still have proprioceptive inabilities, where the muscles are still not working the way that you want it. They're not responding on the challenges that comes in. So that's part of the rehab job that we do. And in case of this, it becomes a really important part of the approach to make sure that you activate those muscles, that you relearn them to contract. And if they if there's more damage to it, then that exercise need to be very specific and gradually increased in terms of the number of repetitions that you do, how you do the repetitions. The body just like variety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we know anyone that's been done any exercise in a gym would know this, that if you do the same exercises forever, then at one stage you just don't get the muscle growth that you want. And so variety, doing the same muscle, training the same muscle with different types of exercises is one way that they do it. But there's lots of ways to bring variety in. You can have variety in and the sequence that you do the exercises. You can have variety in and your sets and in your reps, and how much weight you put on, and so forth. So there's a lot of ways that you can bring variety into exercise. And this is some of the things that, that we play around with in the class, is to change things up a little bit. Now, if we go a little bit into the conditions, so with prostate cancer, with surgery and radiation, this can stretch the muscles or weaken or irritate the muscles, and which can cause a leak when you sneeze or when you lift something or you do a deep squat. Also, if the muscles are too tight and uncoordinated, you can have trouble with your stream or pelvic pain. And so the goal of CrossFit is not just to make these muscles stronger, but also to make them smarter,
mm-hmm.
to so that they can contract and react the way you want them to contract and react. So if we look at the urinary incontinence, leaking, the breathing becomes really important. How you breathe when you do these exercises becomes really important. So some of the main exercises here are things like a frog or a butterfly. So butterflies, which you lie on your back and you just got your knees at a 45 degree bent, feet flat on the ground, feet touching, and then you just flop your knees open. And if you flop your knees open, you create stretch of the adductors, which then create pull on the pelvic floor muscles, and you get a responsive contraction of these muscles. So if you just lie on your back and you flop your knees open, hang it a little bit, bring it back and open, and bring it back and open, nice and rhythmically, you create sort of a proprioceptive impulse stimulus,
mm-hmm.
to those muscles. Now, if you then do some breathing with it, where you basically diaphragm breathing, so you lie on your back, and before you open your legs, you breathe in, and as you breathe in, the tummy comes out. Then, as you breathe out through first lips, preferably, you get your navel, your belly button to drop to your spine,
mm-hmm.
and then once you've got it there, you pull in at the base of the penis, you pull in at the anus and the base of the penis, and you try to lift your testicles. That creates contraction of all the pelvic floor muscles. Now you hold that pelvic position, you hold that contraction, and then you lift your butt up so that you hang, and as you get to the top, you drop your legs open. And then you bring your... And you're still holding the contraction, and you bring the legs back, and you go down, and you relax everything. And then you repeat on the next one. So that creates muscle pull. It creates specific contraction of the muscles that's involved with urinary control. And you do repetitions of that.
And it's about knowing how to do it properly.
Yeah.
You don't need any equipment.
Yeah, you don't need any equipment. But if you don't know how to do it, you're not going to get the correct effect. that it, and it's a learned response. Most, some of these patients, they struggle on the first couple of times. They you can see them when you start giving them instructions. They look around because they don't feel the contraction. And so we also, at towards the end of the session, we go sit on a chair and then we practice the breathing exercises, specifically the contractions of number one and number two and lifting the crown jewels. You know, we work on that specifically, and even roll a towel underneath you. So you need to sit upright in the chair. You can put a rolled towel underneath you so you can actually feel the muscles better. And then you do your breathing exercises. And you actually need to go and practice this at home. You can do it when you stop at a traffic light and wait at the traffic light. It keeps your mind busy and prevent road rage. So that's my contribution to road rage. No, that's just a joke. So, but yeah, so there's different ways that you can do this, and just knowing what to do and then go and practice it is a big part of it. The next one is erectile dysfunction. So you've got two muscles here that's involved. It's the ischial cavernosus, and the bulbous spongiosus. Got nice Latin names, real tongue twisters. So these are the muscles at the base of the penis, and they help to maintain erection and by compressing the veins to keep the blood in the penis. All right. And so what you want to do with these muscles is what we call flicks. So strong, quick reactions combined with longer holds. So you flick it on and off. So you contract at the base of the penis, you flick it on and off. And then you try and hold it, and as you hold it, you try to increase the hold for 5 or 10 seconds. So you flick it, and then we would sit and do the breathing exercise, and I would show with my hand how I want them to increase the tension. Flick on and hold, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, relax. Flick on, hold, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and relax. And that combined with aerobic exercises and some of the hip lifts, so doing a pelvic lift with a cycle movement of your leg, actually create an extra load on the muscle. So it's just variety and ways to improve the quality of the contraction. Then lastly, there's for bowel control, there's the pebo rectalis that I've talked about before, and the diaphragm breathing. Just learning to breathe with your diaphragm. This is also really important for, men that struggle with bloatedness. It helps with lymphatic drainage by learning how to do your diaphragm breathing, and lying down on your back, lifting your legs up using gravity for drainage, and then just doing your diaphragm breathing with your pelvic floor muscle contractions. This can help with bloatedness. And especially if you do it every day, and so this it's stuff that you're not going to pick up in a normal gym. You would not really know where to look for it when you go and search through the internet. You get conflicting information, and in most cases, people would want money off you if you want to get a program or some specific advice. You'll have to enroll in an app, and it's going to cost you money. And so this is the beauty of the CrossFit program, is that you come to these classes, the information is free, and everything else that goes with it is on the house. It's once a week, but if you do it for 5 or 6 weeks, it's once you enroll, you can do this for 40 weeks.
40?
40 weeks. So it's for a whole year. So we've got people here that's been coming to the class now for 3-4 years already. It all depends on how full the class is. The class becomes too, we can manage about 20 in a class. So if we go beyond 20, then some of the older members need to stand back. But I always say to the newbies is, you need to do these exercises at home. So first class, remember one exercise. Go home, meet it after class, and practice it, because you're going to forget it. and then do it for the whole week till the next class. Next class, you can check whether you've got it right, because we're going to do that exercise in class. And then remember the second one, and then follow the same procedure. By 5 weeks, you'll have at least 5 exercises that you now, because you do it on your own, have mastered, and you can do it well. And that's all you need. If you can do 5 of these exercises, then you can do it at home in your own time. The benefit of the class, why people stay with the class, is we do a little bit of aerobic work. You know, we've got two treadmills, and we've got an armogometer and a recline bike, which means there's no direct pressure on the pelvic floor when they sit on like to. Would be the case when they sit on a cyclogometer. So we try to take that pressure off, and then they do their aerobic work. And then there's the strength training, that's weight-bearing exercises, and there's balance and coordination exercises. And then there's this, like I said last time, people that ask about knee pain. And I've talked before about knee pain. Knee replacement surgery can be avoided with a lot of patients if you just get the correct advice at the correct time.
So, and although this starts quite specific with the prostate, it becomes quite generic very quickly because of the body being, of course, all these interconnected systems.
Yes. Yeah, and then we have the odd cases where the patient would come in and we'd see that the group class is not going to work for them. They're just too fragile, or they've got weight issues. They can't really keep up with the rest of the class. And then we would recommend that they actually come and join our normal program. Now, that unfortunately has a cost involved, and that's for them to decide if they want to. They want to stick with the funded program, that's fine. We do try and adjust, but in some cases we have an open discussion of clients and just explain why we feel it'll be better for them to, especially if there's issues around a hip replacement or a knee replacement that complicates the exercises, that makes it harder for them to get down on the ground and get up again. Then we need to look at individualizing those exercises, changing the way we do those exercises, innovate, so that they can do the exercises. And so a lot of the stuff that we do with our normal program is innovative exercises. It's not exercise you're going to find in a textbook. It's stuff that, or in a yoga class, it is exercises that we actually redesign. So the patient can actually do it.
Very personalised.
Yes. So our weekly program, once a week, so we do these, what we call the Kegel exercises to integrate the pelvic floor. And then we have full body stuff for legs and upper body and posture, maintain posture, cardiovascular fitness. Then there's the education, the chats that we have. The technique practice, and then the functional integration, making sure that we functionally integrate, innovate the exercise in a way that our group can do it. And then there's the group support, the fact that there's other people around you that you can talk with and that you can share your information with.
And that must be such an important part.
Yes, it's a really important part. I love it when, at the end of the class, we normally have tea and cookies, right? So we have some biscuits here, and we make some coffee and tea and hot chocolate or whatever they want. Some just want hot water, and then we sit on the chairs. And we drink our coffee and eat our biscuits and just have a yarn, just have a chat. And I love it when I don't need to say anything,
mm-hmm.
because they all pair up and they all start just having conversations. And I just sit and listen to the conversations. And these two here would talk about knowing each other for the last 20 years and have worked together or whatever. Those two are farmers and they share information. Those two are working in another industry. And this is a doctor here, and the guy sitting next to him is a retired doctor, and the guy sitting next to him has been one of his patients.
Hmm.
So they have another sort of chat, you know.
But it's normalizing it, isn't it?
It's normalizing it. And then you have the two guys that just talked about Donald Trump, you know. And so forth. That is just making the whole condition a normal experience.
Mm.
You know, it's not just me that have it. There's other people, and these people are still normal people.
Yes.
They still go around their lives. They go through exactly what I'm going through. And if I want to ask a question, because I've got a surgical procedure coming up next week, or I want to have some information about PSI levels, then I ask, and there's always a smart ass in the group that knows the answers,
mm-hmm.
because he has gone through it and knows the whole story as probably as well as your doctor will know it, because he's personally experienced it, and the information is good. And some comes in and say, yeah, I have a whole bag of nappies that I'm not going to use anymore.
Yes.
Does anyone want it? I'll leave it over here. And there's no shame in it, you know.
Mm.
There's no jokes about it. There's no taunting about it. It's just what it is, and everyone is on the same path. It's great stuff. The guys really enjoy it. It gives them some, because some of them are retired, it gives them something to look forward to. Their once a week meeting with the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's not just the exercise. They feel great after the exercise, but it's also just opportunity to just bond.
And it's keeping them engaged,
yeah.
in the community rather than isolating.
Rather than sitting at home and you know, feeling overwhelmed by the situation.
Mm.
So I get out of my cave and I come and I just do normal stuff.
Mm.
With other people that have the same situation. It's fantastic. We enjoy it I enjoy it quite a lot to be involved with it, look forward to it every Tuesday. So we start on Tuesdays at 11 o'clock, and it goes till about 12, and then maybe another 15 minutes for the coffee and the yarn, and that's it. There's also a class in Levin. That runs, I think, on a Friday, same time. We've got a staff member that lives in Levin. We've got a small satellite over there that she runs. And so her group is smaller because she has a smaller facility. If people want to join the class, then I would think the best way is to just contact us at Aura Kinetics. We are on the internet, we're on our webpage, find a telephone numbers there, and just call, and we'll take you through the process.
What about if somebody has had prostate cancer, we'll say a couple of years ago, and they had the surgery, they're on the hormones, and they haven't had any of this? Can they still apply for it? Is there a time limit?
No, there's no time limit. So as long as you had the diagnosis of cancer, then you can join the group. Like I said, we've got, just space-wise, we can't take more than 20 at a time. But we're normally averaging around 13 to 16 per class. So there's... And some of the older ones, the ones that's been with us now for 2 or 3 years, they know they are on borrowed time.
For the class.
In terms of the class. So they, we've had cases where they would come in and they would see, okay, this is too many today. Mm. And they will say, I'll go. I'll sit out today. But that's rare. I think it would be a tragedy if you are going through this and you don't use this opportunity for yourself. You are doing yourself, and you're taking stuff away from yourself that could make a huge difference. And how you go about in your family and in your normal life and in your self-talk and your emotional health. When we don't airy-fairy about it, it's just you know what it is. I think it's fantastic, like I said before, that it's available there for people. I find it interesting that sometimes the people that need it most are the ones that don't show. I think it's often because they feel they wouldn't be able to keep up, and that should not be something that holds you back. We will make a plan, and people do get better over time, you know. Everyone that started off was struggling the first day. We make adjustments. They do less reps. They sit out of certain exercises. As we go through the floor exercise or the Kegel exercises, I will tell them, you know, which one they should not do and so forth. And then there's also, if you're busy with the classes and you need to go for surgery, then there's often a 4 to 6 weeks wait afterwards before you can return. But that's all run by the medical people. They will tell you when you're ready to go back to the exercises.
Lucas, this has been fascinating. Thank you. And I think it's, as you said in the first session on it, you know, 5,000 per year.
Yeah.
This is a lot of people.
Yeah.
And to know that this is available is wonderful. So anyone who's listening, if you know somebody going through this, please let them know that there's this thing out there called CrossFit. Today I've been talking to Lucas Dreyer about prostate cancer and CrossFit, and thank you very much. That's been incredibly valuable.
Thank you
for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.